Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Hour number three. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I want to get your thoughts on Malik Willis. We've talked about him a lot the last couple of days. He's had some really good days, really good moments in camps, and some moments that you probably expect based on where he was drafted and what he had to learn coming into this offseason and into the season. What have you made of what you've seen from Malik Willis thus far?
Yeah, I think yesterday was his best day. You look at just how he was in low red zone situations, 7-on-7 and team period. He was processing well and getting rid of the ball pretty well, and he was throwing strikes. He had one throw opposite hash to the corner pylon, to the far pylon, to Terry Godwin. And it was, I mean, he showed all the arm strength that you could want on that one. Nice seam route to Briley Moore for a touchdown, too. So I think it was good. And Mike Vrabel said the situations that they had him in, as far as, you know, that low red zone, it kind of sped up his processing and made it good for him. So that was a good sign. You know, prior to that, there were some different times where he held on to the football too long and just tucked it and ran. And that's something, when you're gifted like that, you got to be careful not to rely on that too much. So I think overall it's a work in progress, and that's what they expected coming into it. So it's just one of those things where, I mean, you can't say the guy's a bad football player based on what you're seeing right now. There's a lot of potential and a lot of promises. It's going to take some building.
Yeah, you mentioned Briley Moore there, TD. I noticed him a few times yesterday. I noticed him getting some good reps, making some plays. Haven't seen a ton from him in camp going in. I actually put him on my 53. I was like, you know, watch out for this guy. I really like how he looked last year in camp before tearing up the knee. What do you think about him, and what do you think about, you know, that fourth tight end right now that Tommy Hudson is back off PUP?
Yeah, that's the thing. Those two guys will compete for that fourth tight end spot. And you actually got to put Torrey Carter in the mix, too, because he's a guy they use on special teams and that fullback. And, you know, they'll probably keep – I think they keep four running backs, right? So, and a fullback. So that could mess up being able to keep four tight ends, and we know they keep three quarterbacks. So it's just it's tough. There's going to be a pretty tight numbers game. And those guys are going to have to start making some plays, right, and build on, you know, what they've done in the past. So we'll see how that happens. I don't know that they keep a fourth tight end, though.
TD, we just had Roger McCreary on the show a few minutes ago, and we also got him to sing, which was amazing. You'll have to check that out a little bit later. But I'm just curious from your thoughts on what you've seen from him thus far and the ability to play both outside and inside and do it effectively at his age and at his experience level coming into the league. How big a deal do you think that could be for this Titans defense?
Yeah, it's huge. I talked to Anthony Midgett, the DB coach, and he stressed how much he likes the versatility that the group overall brings. But then when he talked about McCreary specifically, he was impressed with the fact that he was able to take on those reps and not have many issues after not playing inside a lot at Auburn. But you look at his traits, it really fits, you know, a squatty, quicker, thirst for physical type of guy. He definitely fits that slot, that nickel position. So it's good to be able to come in and do that right away.
So we're sitting here, and we won't talk to you again, you know, before the first preseason game. I'm really intrigued, TD, by how Vrabel's going to play this in terms of, you know, some guys who I think are going to be important to this team, but also really could benefit from, you know, from some snaps or from series in that game. We know, like, Malik Willis, of course, we're going to get to see a lot of him in the preseason. When you look at guys like let's say Treylon Burks, Caleb Farley, you know, McCreary, guys who I think we would all agree are going to matter a lot, but also could probably use as much work as possible. Like, how do you think Vrabel will play that? How would you play that?
Yeah, I think with Farley, you want to get him as many snaps as possible, but obviously not have him, you know, play too much because he is one of the starters. So that's one of those things where you got to balance that. But I think Malik Willis, you want him to get tons of experience, game experience, because that's invaluable right now. You want to see how he's able to take the things in practice and transfer it to the game. McCreary, it's just one of those things where, you know, you just want to see what he could do. And same thing with Burks. And remember, Coach Vrabel said that he would like to get Burks back there on punt return. So watch out for that, too. And I think you put Kyle Phillips in the mix. How is he going to go against DBs that haven't seen him before and also in the punt return? So there's a bunch of guys. I mean, we could go on. You got Reggie Robertson, another one that I would like to see. So, yeah, I mean, you want to make sure you get those guys as many reps as possible.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, TD, we had an interesting discussion yesterday with Mike Herndon, and he was talking about, you know, the concepts of the passing offense the past couple of years, and with Tim Kelly coming in, how he could go about changing that. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, in straight-up drop-back situations, not play action and not the system, but just drop-back situations, maybe, in his opinion, the Titans have lacked a little creativity with their concepts passing the ball. Number one, would you agree with that? And number two, how much do you think Tim Kelly can help in that area?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it has been, you know, some basic concepts there. They really like that divide concept, right? The dig with the post over top, they work that a lot. So that's something that you just see over and over again, and even off of play action. So they do need to mix it up with that. I think you're starting to see some things look different, some different, you know, guys being moved around and just put in situations, better situations for them to, you know, showcase what they have. So I do agree. I don't know that that's Tim Kelly as much as it's just, you know, Todd Downing just, you know, mixing up, being as though he has, you know, some new guys. So all together, I think with Tim Kelly, his influence is going to be more 12 personnel. So in my opinion, it's going to be more with, you know, some of the things they do with the groupings.
So TD, I got into an argument with Jared, and I know you know how that goes. Actually, I heard you yesterday kind of straighten him out on Malik Willis, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
But I got an argument with him about, you know, camp, what matters in camp, what are the stories of camp. You know, and basically, like Ryan Tannehill, last year threw some picks, as you know. We all talked about it, asked him about it, but I didn't leave camp last year thinking, my God, Tannehill was terrible during camp. You know, he threw some picks. I thought he still looked like Ryan Tannehill, a pretty known commodity. We know what he is. He throws one yesterday, but he hasn't thrown one before that. Do you see any significance in that? And then just in general, how much do you look at a player like that, a veteran who has, you know, stacked a lot of seasons in this league, and the idea of camp translating to regular season performance?
Yeah, one thing I always tell Jared is not to get too high or too low. And I think, you know, there have been different situations where you go to the extreme one way or the other. And look, the interceptions he threw last year, some of them were just, you know, bad. Others were trying to do some things that you may not normally do in the game. And, you know, it's just like spring training, right? Jake DeGrom is going to work on pitches that he probably wouldn't throw a lot in the regular season during spring training. And it's just the same. So, you know, you can't get too high, too low on it. I think it's good that he hasn't turned the football over much, you know, other than Byers' interception. And those are things that happen. But I don't know that the five interceptions in camp transferred over to the games during the regular season. Because, I mean, off the top, you know, I could count three of the 14 interceptions that weren't on Tannehill. You know what I mean? There was one that bounced off Chester Rogers, one that bounced off Julio Jones, and then another one where Dez Fitzpatrick didn't run the route with urgency and it didn't clear out. So, you know, is that on Tannehill or is that on the guys that's that, you know, didn't do their job properly, didn't catch it or didn't execute, you know. And I think that's what you have to look at. Everyone has its own story, and I know Jarrett doesn't like to hear that, but it's the truth. You know, every situation is different. So I don't put too much stock in camp, but I don't just dispose it either because, I mean, this is a time where you're developing habits.
Yeah. Do you think that there's anything to we kind of tying these two things together, the Tim Kelly influence, some of the things they're doing differently? Like, do you think there's anything to that maybe showing up in how Tannehill's playing right now?
I mean, it's hard to tell that, honestly. I just think you know, he's taking deep shots. He's you know, taking what the defense gives him, and that's just kind of, you know, the way that you want the quarterback to play in this system. So I don't know, you know, I'm not quick to just say, okay, Tannehill is playing well, that's because of Tim Kelly. You know, I'm not going to say that. So I think it's just overall he's just playing well, and things are going well for him right now.
TD, big win last night for your Mets against the Braves. Any shots you'd like to take at Jarrett Stillman and or Chase McCabe right now? The floor is yours.
No, my mentality about camp is the same about regular season and everything else. Hey, don't get too high, don't get too low.
That's right. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always, man. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sure, appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063, The Game.
Apparently, you got the first pick off of Ryan here in camp. How nice was it to be able to pull that one in?
It was great. You know, I've been seeing everybody's writing, oh, Ryan ain't through no picks during practice. So I had to end the streak today. But nah, man, honestly, Ryan's been doing a great job of, you know, kind of going through our defense. Obviously, you know, being here, obviously on both sides, we kind of understand what teams or what we're trying to do to each other. So he's been doing a great job of being precise and on that play, obviously running 2 minute, making sure that, you know, got to go to the field. You end the game with a pick. It's great. So I was able to make a play, kind of in a little robber situation right there. So I was able to read his eyes and make a play on the ball.
That was Kevin Byard yesterday, the first guy to intercept Ryan Tannehill this training camp. Joe was feeling pretty good about the Titans, and all of a sudden he throws that pick yesterday, and it's over.
It's basically Ryan Tannehill throwing the MVP trophy and Kevin Byard catching it.
Yes. It's all done.
So, well, but it's still staying in Nashville, though.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. And by the way, as we mentioned earlier, Kevin Byard, pretty cool scene yesterday with Middle Tennessee coming in and second jersey retired ever in program history, Michelle Knezovic, at Michelle Knezov.
Yes.
Has the video.
It's really inconvenient.
Twitter. On Twitter.
Yeah. It is on Twitter, yes.
It is on Twitter, yeah.
Yep.
By the way, Kevin Byard just seems like an incredibly likable human being.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. My first year here was Byard's rookie year, Henry's rookie year. Those guys are still high-level players and great all-around contributors.
So are you saying that
Nashville and
you
the Titans
were a part of changing the culture?
Oh, I think so. The culture. I mean, who else is still? So it's those two, Kern,
Lawan. Maybe it.
That's probably it, right? It's got to be it. From the 2016 team that changed the culture. I think so. And, well, shoot. I think Brett Kern, that's one thing to continue to watch, by the way. Maybe a little competition from the rookie Stonehouse. But talk about Lawan, Byard, Henry. You're talking about three guys who it would not be a shock if any or all got Pro Bowl nods this year.
Yeah.
That's impressive careers in this league.
Yeah, no question about it. So one thing that we've not talked about that I was going to get to TD's thoughts on there, but we just didn't have time. Randy Bullock's kicking the fire out of the ball in training camp. Like we joked about it heading into camp of like, could there be a competition at field goal kicker? he keeps kicking the way he's kicked so far in camp? The answer is no. Like Randy Bullock, apparently kicking the ball very, very well for the Titans thus far.
He's crushing everything. So would it be any different if there was a competitor, if the kid from Iowa, had been able to? I mean, it's more fun. Those periods are more fun when it's competition. But yeah, every day basically. And I don't know. I'm sure Jimmy Wyatt's got the numbers somewhere on what he is overall. I know Jimmy's got. He's 8 for 8 yesterday. I think the last time he had a period like that, he hit them all too. So yeah, he showed quite a bit last year. I still came away from last year like he's good. You solidified it. You stabilized it. Could you be better? I would say yes, but you're feeling fine there. And again, it looks good in camp. There is some translation from camp to actual football. I'm not saying there isn't. There is some.
Is kicker one of those?
It's building those confidence. Spots? It's building muscle memory. All these things. What's that?
Is kicker one of those spots where there's translation, you think?
Well, I'm certain that there are situations many times in NFL camp where a kicker did one thing, and then all of a sudden you get into the game the pressure and something different happens. But there's still something to be said for daily confidence, routine, consistency, and all that. And he seems to be – I mean, he's got a job. That's got to be a help too. I think in that job or a lot of jobs in sports, when you know it's your job, there's a confidence that comes with that. There's a little bit of pressure that goes away. Now, the pressure comes back when the games come, but I think last year Bullock was good enough to feel decent about that spot after the incredible carousel that they endured for a couple of years there.
Nate on the text line says, if anybody was going to pick off Tannehill in practice, I'd rather it be Byard. There you go. I would probably rather it be a corner. Like I know Kevin Byard can intercept the football.
Right. Yeah, like wouldn't you rather be like Caleb Farley? Yeah. You know, like get a little confidence with a rookie?
Yeah.
That was a great play, and it was, I think, and of course we didn't get Tannehill after practice yesterday, but I think that it probably, I think he surprised him where he was. Like Byard said, he was the robber in that situation. So I think he was not where Tannehill thought he would be. So that's one of those. Take those mental notes, right?
Yeah.
The Byard's crafty that way. Byard made the point, by the way, on the pick thing. He's like, yeah, I think last year in camp I had one in all training camp, and then I had five during the season. So, you know, take it for whatever. Take it however you'd like to take that.
So I'm interested to get your thoughts on the question that you asked TD. With it being less than a week away now from the first preseason game, with guys like McCreary, Farley, Burks, who have come in, they've played well in training camp, theoretically, they're going to be a big part of what you do this year. How are you handling that preseason in case by case with those three guys? How different is it for each of those three guys, do you think? Because, you know, even Caleb Farley and Roger McCreary, they play technically the same position based on, you know, depending on whether McCreary's lined up in the slot or if he's lined up outside. But two different things that I'd be worried about. Like Caleb Farley, it's more about coming back from the injury. I said it yesterday, like leaning on people, making some tackles. I'd like to see him do that. So with those three guys, how do you think that Vrabel goes about handling it?
Well, if I had to rank them in terms of who's going to play the most, I would definitely rank our Baked Beans falsetto singer first. And I think Roger's going to be – because, look, I mean, he's a rookie. He needs the work, and at this point, I still think there's a decent chance. You know, he starts the season as the fourth corner, still waiting daily to see, you know, if Elijah Molden is coming back. Haven't seen him. You know, for example, like Simmons yesterday didn't participate, but you saw him around. You know, you saw Derrick Henry around. It's been a few days since we've seen Molden. But if Molden is back and fine, I think McCreary most likely is a fourth corner. He's got to get a lot of work. I think I would probably put Burks as the second most likely, because it's the same thing. Like you got to get work and you got to go play football.
But if he keeps doing this every day, like at some point, if you're able, do you look around and say, "All right, well he's getting a lot of work done in the practice reps, and if he plays like this, he's going to be pretty important to what we do."
Yeah, And I get that, and maybe he will. But I'm just going to guess that he actually gets a decent amount of work in those games. There's still a difference between what he's doing. There's a difference between camp and a real game. Obviously, the team, full pads, 11-on-11 stuff, that's game-like. But I think he's got to have that work. Now, Farley would be my least likely, even though he also needs work. Just the injury history would be the thing with him that gives me pause on the idea that he's going to play a ton. I wouldn't be surprised if Farley's out there for a series or two. And then, I mean, who, of the defensive starters, who's out there for at least a couple series? I don't even know.
I don't know, man.
But, like, Farley, McCreary, certainly, like, guys like T.R. Tart and Naquan Jones, and I guess.
A lot of Ola.
You see a little bit, yeah, a lot of Ola, probably Rashad Weaver. Yeah. I mean, some guys who can matter for this defense. Inside linebacker would be interesting. Are Long and Cunningham going to be out there at all? I mean, I don't know.
I probably wouldn't. But you also, like, is you going to have Dylan Cole play the whole game? Like, I mean, yeah. I guess you could.
Do you have enough? Yeah, do you have enough guys to even, like, play an entire game if you don't play your starters at all? It's preseason football, man. It's getting worse.
Oh, get ready, baby.
Worse. It is.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, maybe. Yeah, the owner. I mean, the owners, if they would probably gladly just get rid of them and go to 20 games. So
they would.
They'll do that. They'll take that.
I wonder how the players feel about that.
Yeah. More money.
Hey, there is more money. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get to some interesting comments that Titans quarterback coach Pat O'Hara had yesterday on Malik Willis. We'll play those for you coming up next. We are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Make sure you tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Music City Grand Prix. Also join Chase McCabe Saturday from 10 to noon and Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. Make sure you tune that out. It's going to be a fun weekend here in Nashville. The crowd is already arriving. I saw at the airport as I was driving in this morning. Great setup downtown, so looking forward to all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 8:45. We'll go ahead and take your bold predictions, your submissions for Call Your Shot Friday on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, some assistant coaches speaking yesterday for the Titans, including quarterback coach Pat O'Hara. And I thought he had some really interesting comments on Malik Willis, what he's seen from Malik Willis thus far, and basically what Malik Willis is having to learn on the fly right now at Titans training camp. Here's what quarterback coach Pat O'Hara had to say yesterday morning.
Yeah, you know, with young quarterbacks, it's really cool, though, with Malik is able to retain information really well, and so his decision making, which we monitor, has been very good for Rick. And things that he hasn't had to do before relative to work from the pocket, his feet need to catch up with his mind, and it's getting better. It takes time, you know. Malik has a very strong arm and a really cool skill set, but you can't always rely on that all the time. These windows are tight. The geography is different with the hash marks in the program, which makes a big difference, in my opinion. So the other thing, too, is, you know, when you're playing quarterback, the NFL provides protection for quarterbacks much more so than outside of the pocket. When you're in the pocket, which is the tackle box, you're protected in the head and neck area. You're protected from being hit low. You're also protected from being body weight landing on top of you. Tackle, that's three ways of protection for a quarterback. Once you leave the tackle box, the only area you're protected is the head and neck area. So you need to operate outside the pocket, but you need to be able to operate from inside the pocket. Operating outside the pocket is not a problem for Malik.
It sounds as if.
So that was Pat O'Hara yesterday, Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 taking that video. I thought that was really
interesting stuff from Pat O'Hara from the standpoint of, you know, he talked about the decision making, and I think when I think about a rookie quarterback coming into the league, Joe, that's probably the number one thing that I would worry about is decision making and maybe stuff being too fast for you at this level. And Pat O'Hara was basically like, yeah, I mean, his decision making is really good. It's getting his body to catch up with his mind and what he's processing out there. I thought that part of it was really interesting, you know, of why it's important to be able to operate in the pocket and stay in the pocket from a protection of yourself standpoint. I thought it was really interesting. That was good stuff from Pat O'Hara yesterday.
Yeah, and it kind of matches up with what Malik was talking about too when he was talking a few days ago about seeing something and, you know, but then like getting your feet and everything coordinated with your brain. So, you know, boom, the ball's out. I mean, and also he talked about throwing guys open, you know, tighter windows. Look, this is a thing you hear all the time from college quarterbacks go to the NFL. What you think is an open window in college, there's a much stricter definition of in the NFL. No, that's actually an open window. In college, yeah. Maybe you're like, nah, I got somebody else who's open. But in the NFL, it's – and that's probably the biggest thing that's consistent. Well, two things with him. Just the – and they probably go together some. But one is just here and there, he just still has too many kind of passes that just sail on him, you know, wide or high. And that, again, is probably also footwork and all that related. But then there's just, I think, a lot of times where, so, for example, the other two quarterbacks here are letting it go and throwing, and sometimes throwing guys open, as they say, but sometimes just simply fitting the ball in to a place, and he still isn't comfortable enough doing that, right? So there's a lot of, I'm going to hold off. I mean, look, he probably would have, like, some picks in camp had he taken some of those shots, but you have to take more than he is. Right? Ultimately, there's nothing about the Malik Willis process right now that's all that, like, surprising or discouraging, unless you were a fan of the mindset of he's going to leapfrog Logan Woodside, or my gosh, if you're a fan who actually – I mean, and by the way, not just fans. There were some people on draft night. Ooh, watch out, Ryan Tannehill. Now, I think everybody around here knew, no, that's not the case, both because, you know, Tannehill is still a pretty good quarterback, and also because, look, everybody knew Malik Willis was going to take a lot of work, and there's a reason he dropped to the third round. So it's I don't know where it's going to go, but I think it's too early to pretend to know.
I think it's too early to pretend to know, too. It sounds like there's tools to work with there, at least, which is why, you know, I think some people are looking at him and, you know, we had Jared on yesterday, and he's like, well, Malik Willis sucks right now. And, you know, I think that was a strong word. I think, you know, TD, if you missed it yesterday in the TD Power Hour, did a pretty good job of explaining exactly where Malik Willis is at this time. But to me, I think the encouraging thing, and maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but I thought it was pretty encouraging that Pat O'Hara was like, his decision making is really good. Like, he's, because to me, as a rookie quarterback, that's what I always worry about coming into the league, of your decision making. Like, you're just, the game's too quick for you, and your decisions are just not there. And Pat O'Hara was like, well, it's not really a problem. It's just kind of getting the footwork to catch up with everything else. Like, that to me, you can work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's encouraging.
You can work with that. And, again, and we've talked about this, but another element of his game that just isn't a factor. It really is not a factor and won't be a factor until he plays in real football games. I think it will be a factor in the preseason games is, yeah, when he breaks the pocket, even though ideally you're in the pocket, you're getting the ball out quickly, you're carving up a defense that way. When he breaks the pocket, like, he can make a defense pay. Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, in camp, it's okay, blow the whistle as soon as he gets outside the tackle, but that's not going to be the case in real football. So I think that's a way things might look better for him because of that, even just that alone in the preseason. But along with the decision making, I don't think there's any doubt that if he ever gets good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, big if. I think he'll be a really good leader of a football team. I think you can see those traits without question. He's one of those just guys who kind of steps into a room or a situation and just kind of stands out. I mean, he's, you know, and I think that's pretty clear in talking to coaches or players about him. You know, I think he's come in and really won a lot of people over, and that's not easy when you think about being the rookie QB and there's an established starter and all this stuff. I mean, he's been really good in that way. May not matter because ultimately you got to be able to play the position, and it's very hard to play that position well. But if he gets to that point, then that's a huge bonus for him.
I have a string of thoughts that have come in on my personal text line from our good friend Jared Stillman.
Oh,
are you ready for him?
Oh, sure.
He does suck right now. If he had to go in a game right now, he'd suck. That okay. is by definition sucking right now. Also, I love Joe's cable news camp coverage. It doesn't matter for Tannehill, but it does matter for Randy Bullock when no one is rushing him. Your thoughts on Jared Stillman's messages there?
I mean, weren't we making a joke about the whole Randy Bullock translate? Like, we were joking about it, right? Yes. And Jared doesn't – that over your head, Jared? Are you not catching up? You're not picking up what we're putting down, Jared?
Well, look, he had a tough day yesterday to wait on the FedEx package, but he's all good today.
Yeah. Do we ever find out what that was?
No.
We had somebody who works from FedEx call in and say that it's the supplier, not FedEx.
Yeah, there was people that were
– ooh.
That's people active on the phone text lines yesterday about it.
Careful who you're throwing under the bus, Jared. Was it some of Aaron Rodgers' magic mushrooms coming in, though?
Well, maybe. That'd be fun to talk about at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, again, why do we have to keep talking about this?
I'm the messenger here.
There's some relevance to camp. You're trying to get better, work on things. But known commodities are not, like, you know. This whole idea, I don't care about Chigakonkwo. I think it's a pretty important camp for Chigakonkwo. I'm pretty interested in watching his development because I think he can help this offense. I think we know that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback of this offense. But, hey, I'm just saying.
Well, what do you make of Jared's definition of Malik Willis sucking right now?
Yeah.
If he had to go in a game, it would be good.
It's just that.
And I believe that.
I don't disagree that – But again, let's take that to expectations. Would any of us have expected at this point, a month from now, 2 months from now, that Malik Willis could go into a game and you'd feel good about it? I never would have. So I think characterizing what a player is should be also relative to expectations. Also, I just think it's like you can choose better words, Jared, than
sucks. This guy sucks.
You know what I mean? And also you can choose not saying it that way.
Really, my charge every time this happens is to get you to get into his voice.
Yeah. I wonder, does he have a
impersonation
of him?
Yet again. I don't know. We had a lot of talk about Jared's voice yesterday on the text line when he was on the phone with us. Apparently, he was just like he was soothing yesterday. Yeah.
Hello, fellows.
Hi. What's going on?
Everything's fine.
A lot of love for Jared yesterday.
I feel like Jared's becoming a big Titans homer, too. But that's another. By the way, isn't Jared, like, he's the definition. He always says Bobo. Isn't he the definition of a Bobo?
What do you mean?
Well, or like a homer. Like, to me, I think he looks at it like if you always say positive things. But to me, if you are so emotionally invested that you go way overboard negatively, too, isn't that really the definition of a Bobo? Well, isn't he actually the King Bobo of Nashville media?
We could be onto something here.
I'm just saying.
King Bobo.
I'm throwing it out there for discussion. I think that, you know, it's not just always positive. I think it's if you are so invested that you sometimes don't see clearly because you get so worked up about it, I think that might be Boboism at its finest.
I kind of like where you're going here.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Just saying. It's a point of discussion. We could talk about it.
We will talk about it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Some have already rolled in on the text line. Hit us up with yours, 615-737-1025. You can start the second half of baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I've told you about the Yankees. I'd still stick with them. Tough loss for the Braves last night. I think they rebound tonight as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sports book which is FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday? A little bit more long-term based last week.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of that time of year. We are at least finally moving into, you know, more stuff to watch that will be sports. I had Notre Dame will stay independent. I wrote 12 team. I don't know what the heck that means, but Notre Dame will stay independent.
12 team playoff.
Oh, maybe that's it. Sure, let's go with that. I said the Giants will sign Jimmy G. He will be cut, and then the Giants will sign him. So we'll see. I also went to the season opener. I had the Giants on the brain. I guess I had Treylon Burks 50-yard plus TD in the opener. So remember that one.
I'll remember it.
Michelle, you got Durant with the Celtics. Durant's going to end up with the Celtics. So we shall see. You had the Big Ten will announce three more schools before week one. That is a shot. I will be shocked if that happens. Jimmy G will not be on a team week one. Interesting.
Mm.
And you got Jeff Simmons signing his new contract. You got 8 days before August 13th.
So, oh, yeah, I forgot I put a specific date.
You did. So 8 days for that to be done. Robbie, Derrick Henry, rushing title, more than 1,700 yards. Remember that one.
Yep.
Burks will lead the Titans in receiving touchdowns this season. That's a biggie.
I feel good about it.
I mean, I certainly think it could happen. He seems like a guy you throw that fade to. Like, they go to the fade more with him on your roster. Patriots will go 7-10 this year and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, get out of here, Belichick.
That's a shot. You got Nashville SC winning 3-1.
That did not
happen. Against Vancouver did not happen. And, of course, your guy, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Psychedelic, three-peating as MVP.
Some of that ayahuasca out there, buddy.
And then he's going to go to a Pink Floyd light laser show just to celebrate.
Or some random tent in Peru.
And have some frozen burritos.
Yeah. Get to that here more a little bit here in just a few minutes. Been an interesting week for my quarterback, but you know what? Still throwing that ball pretty well in training
right.
camp. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right. So I'm calling shots because just like with TD, you know, we of course, like this will, next time we call shots will be after the Titans preseason debut. So I got three from that.
Well, like
one,
that.
Malik Willis will run for 50-plus yards and a touchdown in his preseason debut.
Mm.
I think 50 is a shot-worthy number.
For running, yeah.
Yeah, for running. Two, Jordan Wilkins will also have 50-plus rushing yards, and he will catch 3-plus passes in that preseason game.
Okay.
Jordan Wilkins, never talk about him. He was a pretty good player for the Colts. I've liked how he has looked in camp. I think it's an uphill battle to make the team, but he's exactly the kind of guy who's going to be out there a ton in the preseason opener. And finally, Kevin Strong will have 2 sacks in the preseason opener. I mean, that's a shot. Like, a lot of people are like, who? And I'm calling for a D-tackle to have 2 sacks. But, yes,
I'm
calling for that. I think he's going to get a lot of time, and so he's going to have opportunity to do that.
I like that.
There you go.
Michelle Knezevic, your called shots of the week.
Treylon Burks will play for the first half of the preseason game and have 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Ooh, 2 touchdowns.
Vander Bell will beat Hawaii by 7 and cover the spread in week one.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, spread's at 6.5.
Yes. Kentucky will shut out Miami of Ohio week one.
What are you going to do week one?
24-0. Yeah. I'll do stats. I'll do stats.
Okay.
They're only going to score 24 against Miami of Ohio?
Yes.
That may be a rough year for
you. Will, I thought number one overall pick, best quarterback ever. Not going to, no? Not going to?
You just said that. Those words never came
out
of my
mouth.
They'll
score 24 by the end of the first half, right?
Quarter.
Deshaun Watson.
We've got her frazzled over there.
Yeah, you guys get, I just can't. I can't right now. I just get too frazzled. The NFL obviously appealed. Deshaun Watson will only get suspended 8 games.
So 8 games, the final number.
So 6 now.
Could be.
And finally, this one's really spicy and really out there. The Jacksonville Jaguars. More reports will come out that they're moving to Chicago.
Oh, moving to Chicago.
I swear.
I have seen something.
Think that this is actually going to happen. I bet you by New Year's, by January, there's movement.
Doesn't Chicago already have their hands full with one awful football team? Can they really handle two awful
They're
football teams?
They're moving to Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights. So basically the Jaguars would become the equivalent of the Chicago White Sox, the crap team no one cares about in Chicago.
Yeah.
While everyone loves the Bulls and the Cubs.
Would they still be the Jaguars?
So does this mean that you and Ryan would become huge Jaguars fans?
No.
Is that what we're talking about
I'm
here?
A Steelers fan, guys. I'm not a Bears fan.
Well, I know, but Ryan is somehow turned you into
I'm just pointing out that the Chicago Bears are awful.
By the way, did you guys take my certificate first time game? I wanted to – where is that?
It's probably somewhere over there.
Did you move that?
No.
Oh, man. Sorry. If I lost that, I feel really bad. You guys went through the effort of getting me my certificate for the first game.
Gracious. Michelle, do you have any more called shots?
Nope, those are my called shots.
All right, I'll start with the spicy one that I think Joe's going to enjoy. The Detroit Lions will win 6 football games this year. Mm. They will double their win total from last year.
Okay.
Dan Campbell and company. Building a strong program down there. They put out a speech that he gave the team before they went out to the practice field the other day and kind of a preview of Hard Knocks. And I tell you what, it's hard not to be inspired by that guy.
Did you see the one guy's face when he was talking to
him? Oh, yeah, he was intense.
Amazing.
Oh, there's people are, I think, locked in, probably the phrase that best up describes Dan Campbell when he's giving a speech. Locked in.
He has these weird analogies like, we're going to swim until they fall into the volcano or something like that. It doesn't make any sense, but it gets me pumped up.
They've moved past the biting of kneecaps, and now they will. 6 games, the Detroit Lions.
They moved on from cannibalism to drowning people.
Yes. 6 games will happen. By the way, Jared Stillman just texted me and said he threw away your certificate.
What?
Jared, what the heck?
What's wrong with you, Jared?
I'm just telling you what he said. I don't know if it's true or not.
You suck, Jared.
Is this Joe loving the White Sox?
Well, I like the gift. I mean, I think it's funny.
I'm just telling you what he said.
What the hell, Jared?
Yeah, that makes me mad.
Anyway, back to my call shots. Kyle Phillips, touchdown against Baltimore. Kyle Phillips will have a touchdown reception against the Baltimore Ravens in the preseason game. The Indianapolis Colts will be 1-2 heading into the Titans game, the first Titans game, 1-2. Keeping in mind that they begin their season with the Texans and the Jags.
Oh,
and then the Chiefs.
We know they can't beat the Jags.
And I think it is in Jacksonville, too. But they will be 1-2.
They don't win that game.
They do not win down there.
15 years.
They will be 1-2 heading into the first Titans game. I think that's a little spicy.
That's spicy. We got to remind each other of these shots.
Oh, I'll remind you. Look,
coming up for weeks.
I'm going to be pretty consistent in my disrespect for the Colts heading into this year, and that very well could come back to bite me. I'm fully aware of that. I'll believe it when I see it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this one is a total Bobo pick, as Jared would say, but I'm doing it anyway. Romeo Doubs, which most of you probably never heard of, he got drafted in the 5th round by the Packers, lighting it up at training camp, wide receiver. He will win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFC.
Oh, boy.
Lighting it up, baby. Offensive Rookie of the Year, NFC. Partly because the Packers don't have anybody to throw the ball to, so he's going to have to get the ball. So.
If he does that, do you think that Aaron Rodgers will take him out to the desert for a 3-day find ourselves walk?
He'll say, eat this with me.
Romeo, I would stay away from anything. You end up in a tent with Aaron Rodgers. Just don't ingest anything in there.
Wow, that's a shot. Romeo Doubs, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I'm just
They need something like that to to unfold for them, don't they?
I'm just telling you that Aaron Rodgers is not very quick to give praise, and comparisons to Jordy Nelson and or Devontae Adams may have happened the other day. So
how many, how many Hall of Famers are we talking about here? How many gold jackets need to be handed out?
I'm just saying.
Romeo Doubs. Wait, he's from where?
I think Nevada.
Oh, well then.
Nevada.
It is Nevada.
Yeah.
Right?
I've always said Nevada, but people, yeah, I think I'm wrong.
People in Nevada hate when people say Nevada.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that he's a Nevada product. Okay.
Yeah. Nate on the text line says, Nino will score and have an assist in the international game in Switzerland because his grandmother is supposed to be at her first live NHL game with Nino. So we're already looking ahead to the Preds opening game in Switzerland. I like it, Nate. I like the energy.
That's precious. I love that.
It's good stuff.
I like it, too.
I got a texture that's...
Don't read the FedEx package one.
Well, that's the one I clicked on, and I was in the middle of starting to read, and can't do that one.
Leave that one alone.
We're just going to go ahead and leave that one alone. I got a shot that says the Tennessee Vols will beat Georgia this year from Mike B.
That's a shot.
And then lose to Kentucky.
That is a shot.
Georgia. Both of those things are a shot.
A question on Haskins. Yes. Yeah, I think Haskins will play Thursday. I think he'll play a fair amount, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can see Jordan Wilkins in the second half of that game getting a lot of action.
Very well.
I think Hilliard, Haskins, and we know Henry are going to be off to the side. See some Trenton Cannon and Jordan Wilkins.
I got a text that says, please keep the Colts hate going. I'm so tired of hearing how Matt Ryan is their Lord and Savior and how the Titans are going to be 7-10 this year from every Colts fan. Colts fans are a little excited this year. We've had a few resident Colts fans on our own text line. Be very confident in the Indianapolis Colts and Matt Ryan this year. Very confident. Striking similarities to how confident they were in Carson Wentz last year, I may add. But confident nonetheless.
What about Phillip Rivers? How's it compared to that confidence?
Well, honestly, I don't remember back that far, so good thing.
I mean, at least Phillip Rivers was fun. He was entertaining. He's my number one of those three.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into a wild story on the Aaron Rodgers front from an interview he had earlier this week, including maybe some chemical help that's helped him on the field this year. Get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.